And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, we've got a great, great volume of secrets. This is volume 214. Man, you know, I've had a number of people write to me and say, we would like to have your secrets in hard copy. You know, they want a copy of it. And we're trying to figure out now, you know, I've got Michelle here, our office manager. And of course, Wanda's always my top confidant. And, you know, I'm going to get everybody together and see what we might do on that. 214 volumes, of course, it'd probably turn out to be 10 books, you know. I mean, we put a lot of stuff in here. And Michelle said, well, you know, Tex, you really ought to publish these because people want hard copies so much. You know, I did a number of volumes of a series called Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. Some of them I actually said gone berserk, I think. And those are classics. I mean, these are preachers, pastors, evangelists, theologians that are just crazy. I mean, they don't know what the Bible's even all about. They're just nuts. And I enjoy exposing evildoers. I really do. Because, you know, you have to understand, these people are leading thousands right over the mountain. I mean, they're plunging over a cliff. Somebody needs to say, stop it. Hey, hold on. What you're saying is not true. What you're preaching, what you're teaching, what you're doing is not accurate. And so somebody might say, well, why you, Tex? Why have you ordained yourself for that? Well, I didn't ordain myself. You know, the Bible says, have no part with the works of darkness, but rather expose them. Folks, read Ephesians. That's what it says. Have no part with the works or workers of darkness, but rather reprove them. That is, expose them. And if you're not doing that, you're not doing much for Jesus. I mean, do you think he just wants you to stand around and let his church become depraved and decadent and wicked? No, he doesn't want that. He wants you to go out and say, hey, that's not right. That's not true. We're supposed to read, judge, and stay with the good. We're supposed to stay with the pure. That's what we do as Christians. It's not being holier than thou. I'm no holier than anybody else. I'm just flat out honest. You know, I'm sure pastors and evangelists and theologians across the country just despise Tex Mars for my series of tapes on that, but I'm going to keep it up. Now, secrets today. Let's talk a little bit about this. You know, I've watched Fox News ever since it went cable, I don't know what, 16, 17, 18 years ago, and I've always enjoyed it. Now, I must say, they always buy usually the Republican line, kiss up to the Republicans, and people like Hannity and O'Reilly, even what's-his-name used to be on their network, Glenn Beck, they're all fakes. They're all big fakes. But still, I mean, when you appreciate any kind of unbiased, or I shouldn't say unbiased, but news that's sort of conservative, you appreciate it. I mean, because you don't get much of that. You have to understand, for years before that, we had CBS, ABC, NBC, and they gave us all this liberal malarkey, this nonsense. Now we're getting some balance on the other side. Now, I'm waiting for the day when they'll, you know, actually allow people like me and Alex Jones and others to tell the truth. And some people say that Alex Jones is a complicit or an accomplice of the New World Order elite. Well, I know, Alex, that's just nonsense. He's nothing of the sort. And they say he hasn't gone far enough. Well, you know, he's done a lot more than other people have, so I give Alex Jones a lot of credit. But they're not going to allow him. Alex Jones is not going to get some kind of a network TV slot. We're not going to see him on Fox Network. Certainly not MSNBC. In fact, did you know they just cut him off of the Armed Forces Network? Now, the Armed Forces Network has about 700,000 listeners and readers on the internet and the radio and TV. You know, I used to listen to it myself when I was stationed in the Air Force in Germany and, you know, over in Japan and places like that. Well, they just cut off Infowars.com, Alex Jones Network, and I'm sure they probably cut me off too. This is what the government can do when they're in control. You know, they just cut you out. That is why Barack Obama recently dictated that the internet, you know, the choosing of domain names and all of that, the control of the internet be turned from the United States to the United Nations. Now, right away, the United Nations is going to come down hard on people like Tex Mars and Alex Jones and all of us because, you know, it's made up of all these corrupt nations around the world. It's really, the United Nations basically does whatever the United States tells it to do. And the internet is going to become the dark continent of political information. Now the internet's a free wheeling exchange. You say what you want to, and they hate that stuff. I mean, you know, Fox News and all of them, oh, especially CBS, NBC. Can you imagine, you know, the Matt Lauers of this world, the Brian Williams? They're just ecstatic that the United Nations now is going to control the internet. Now, when is the United Nations going to start its control? Well, they're going to wait. They're going to put all their employees together, their staff. They're going to have a big, you know, building, and they're going to run the whole internet for the whole world. Of course, they're going to do whatever the United States and Israel tell them to do. But in any case, we're going to be right here, folks, until the end comes. But we've got a window of opportunity. It's a window. It's so many years of opportunity. And we're going to take advantage of that. You know, I mean, nothing has guaranteed you that you're going to have a forum to tell the truth. That's what we have here on shortwave radio. That's what I have here on the internet on this radio program. My radio program, of course, is on powerofprophecy.com and has been for many years. We're going to keep it going. Now, I have to thank God when I see somebody on Fox News tell the truth. Now, the other networks, there's not much hope for them, especially MSNBC and NBC and all those crummy headline news CNN project there. But listen to this. This just amazed me. Megyn Kelly. You know, the blonde, I shouldn't call her that. She's one of the smartest chicks you can see in the world. Now, I know people are going to write to me, you call her a chick. Well, okay, she's a woman. Can I go on to say, though, that she is extremely brilliant? She's an attorney, and she's about 10 times as smart as all the other journalists on TV. And she runs rings around them, and she has interviews with people. And, boy, they don't get past this girl, this lady. So I've been watching her program, Wanda and I. We get a kick out of it, you know. I know she works for Fox News, and she has to sort of buy the party line there, the company line. But every once in a while, she gets her little licks in at these people. It's pretty nice. Now, she had Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney, his daughter, on recently. And let me just tell you what she did. Megyn Kelly to Dick Cheney. She had him on, she interviewed him. They were sitting side by side. Now, you know Dick Cheney is the biggest fake in the world. And listen to what Megyn Kelly, her first question to him in this interview. This is unbelievable. Now, the liberal news, NBC, ABC, CBS, and so forth, they will not do Obama this way. I mean, you know, why don't they just go ahead and kiss him? We love you, Obama. And then, okay, the interview's over. That's what they do. But Megyn Kelly, here's what she is, what she says to Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney. Oh, by the way, they had just written an op-ed, you know, an editorial. I think it's for the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal or something, in which they talked about Barack Obama having messed up big time with Iraq. So here's what she says. And I guess they thought they would go on this program, Megyn Kelly's program, and she would do like O'Reilly or a Hannity, one of those people, and kiss up to Cheney. But here's what she said. Her very first question, quote, in your op-ed, you write as follows, quote, rarely has a U.S. president been so wrong about so much at the expense of so many. But, says Megyn Kelly, Time and again, history has proven that you got it wrong as well, sir. I'm going to read that again. But time and again, history has proven that you got it wrong as well, sir. You said there were no doubts that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. You said we would be greeted as liberators. You said the Iraq insurgency was in its last throes back in 2005. And you said after our intervention, extremists would have to, quote, rethink their strategy of jihad. Now, with almost $1 trillion spent there, with 4,500 American lives lost there, what do you say to those who say you were so wrong about so much at the expense of so many? Now I've got Cheney's response here, but I'm not going to read it because it was absolute, you know, stupidness. There's nothing he could say to that. And by the way, this came from, you know, Sir Winston Churchill. The line about being so wrong about so much at the expense of so many was a famous line from Winston Churchill's speech that he gave. And so, you know, Cheney couldn't even make his own his own op-ed correct. He had to steal from Winston Churchill. Of course, Cheney said, well, I just fundamentally disagree, Megan. You've got to go back and look at the track record, which he just told him what the track record was. Okay, so that's for Cheney, you know, and she allowed him to talk a little bit. She's fair, but basically she got her bit in there. She just tore the guy, you know, a new head there. I like that. If it had been Hannity or O'Reilly, that would have been kissing up to him. She wasn't going to do that. Then there's Judge Jeanine Pirro. Now, she has a talk show on Fox News, too. Now, listen to this one. Boy, she was unleashed. Now, she went after President Barack Obama. Now, you can say that Fox News is against Obama. Okay, good. So, Jeanine Pirro, Judge Jeanine, they call her, was, you know, saying something about a president that the folks there at Fox News agreed, just don't like. But what she said, man. Okay, here it comes. From Judge Jeanine Pirro. You, Mr. President, have defrauded the American people. Now, Judge Pirro uncorked a blistering verbal assault on Obama. She said, Mr. President, it's called an abrogation of duty. You have not taken your oath to honestly and faithfully execute the duties of your office. As Commander-in-Chief, you have not protected us. This dereliction of duty as Commander-in-Chief demands your impeachment. Your cover-up of Benghazi was for political advantage. The promotion thereafter of virtually everyone involved in your conspiracy and the stonewalling of Congress, the denying of access to key witnesses, all add up to a classic cover-up. Wow. And what's that? You were elected? Pirro rhetorically asked Obama. She says there is no contract with someone who thinks that the American people are nothing more than pawns in an all-consuming power play to change who we are as a nation. You swore to protect and defend the American people, but instead you left Americans to die, not lifting a finger to help them, Mr. President. None of us want to believe that our president will let Americans die, but the arrogance, the failure to act, the lies, the cover-up make it clear that you, Mr. President, have defrauded the American people. You, Mr. President, have violated your constitutional oath. You have not faithfully executed your duties in the office of the president. Now, where are the men at Fox News? Where are they at? I mean, they leave it to, you know, Megyn Kelly and Jeanine Pirro to blast as they should be blasting. The Republican vice president and now the Democrat president. Good for them. Well, the Iraqis are collapsing to the group called ISIS. Now, I'm going to have a whole program on this, and we'll talk about what ISIS means. Of course, if you're familiar with the Egyptian goddess named Isis, you'll understand. But in any case, this whole thing, you know, I've been reading some articles recently, dating all the way back to 1997. Because, You see, last January, the city of Fallujah fell to these people of this so-called new caliphate, Muslim or Islamic caliphate. It spreads from all the way from Syria, northern Syria, down into Iraq, and it has taken grip so fast. And there's probably no more than a few thousand of these terrorists of this caliphate. And the whole thing, you know, I realized when it began was a hoax. But in January, they took over the Iraqi city of Fallujah. Now, that was sort of set off a bell in my head because Fallujah was the place that took us many months to capture as Americans. We bombed the thing back into the Stone Age, left it full of, you know, uranium, you know, shells, the casings. I mean, the city was totally destroyed by the American forces. The rebels fought very valiantly against us, but we had superior firepower. So here's a city, though, that took us blood and probably, I don't know, $50 million, probably $100 million to capture, Fallujah. But they just went right in and took it. Now, then they went to Mosul, the second largest Iraqi city. Now, what happened there convinced me this whole thing was a con job. So I'm going to, you know, be back here at you in a couple weeks. We're going to do a whole program on this con job. This was meant to be, folks. This was all planned. Believe me, the Council on Foreign Relations wrote of this. The president of the Council on Foreign Relations, Leslie Gelb, wrote about this in 2003. And he was on the radio talking about the fact that a Muslim caliphate would be established in Iraq, and Iraq would be recomposed into three entities. It would be a tripart. One-third would be for the Kurds, and then one-third for this Muslim caliphate, and then a third, which would be the Sunnis, Muslims, and then the other third would be reserved for the Shiite Muslims of Kiliki. So it was going to be broken up into three parts with the approval of the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, the Project for a New American Century, a Jewish group of neocons, wrote about this back in 1997, 98, 99 era. And this is what was going to happen. Now, not only that, but dummy head, and you know who I mean. You don't know? Well, I mean the Vice President of the United States, Biden. He was head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee at the time. In 2007, he came out with his plan, which was the CFR plan, verbatim, for this three-part Iraq. Now, Bush didn't have time to put it into effect in 2007, but in 2008, there came Barack Obama. And he inherited this CFR, Project for a New American Century, which is the Jewish plan. This is what Israel wants. They want to destabilize the entire Middle East. So that's what's being done. The killing will continue. There will be no real government in charge. And Israel will get whatever it wants in the Middle East because of the destabilization program. All of this planned. In fact, believe me, in 2007, the United States Senate voted 75-23 to turn Iraq into a tripart nation. They did. In 2007. They voted on it, 75-23. And I understand that 23 Republicans voted for it, too. You know, people like Lindsey Graham, the queer boy from South Carolina, and John McCain, the weirdo from warmonger from Arizona. By the way, is there any war that John McCain would not support? He's always for going in there and bombing. I'm surprised that after 9/11, he didn't come up with a speech and say, it's time for America to bomb America. We have these terrorists in our nation. The only way we can get rid of them is having a bombing campaign. Let's bomb cities across this nation. I'm surprised he didn't call for the bombing of America. I mean, that guy, he's crazy. Of course, he was put in office by gangsters, as you know, by mobsters. He divorced his wife and married the blonde girl and all that. And, you know, she's one of the Hillary Clinton girls. Maybe I'll talk about her being one of the Hillary Clinton girls. You know, the girls that all wear the same Hillary pin. You may not have heard about that, but to indicate their secret allegiance to this girls club, there's a girls club, and they meet frequently and do secret things. I understand they meet down in Belize, the little Republic of Belize down in Central America. Judge Sotomayor of the Supreme Court is a member of that group. And they all wear a pin with an eagle clutching a pearl. Mm-hmm. You've seen that before, the Hillary Girls Club. They're Illuminati that are all allied with Hillary and behind her. And, of course, John McCain's wife was one of them. In any case, when the Iraqi army just seemed to fold and collapse overnight, everywhere they were challenged by these terrorists of the Muslim Caliphate and their leader, Ali Baghdadi. Now, Baghdadi's a fake creation. He spent 4 years, supposedly, in a United States prison in Iraq. Baghdadi is his name. And when he got out, the last thing he told his American captors when they let him out was, he said, "I'll see you guys in New York." Now, he's called the new Osama bin Laden. In any case, yeah, he said, "I'll see you guys in New York." Now, that was some sort of threat. Of course, he never said that. They made that up. They created the new Osama. You know, they got a lot of headway out of Saddam Hussein as the new Hitler. Then when we threw him out of office and killed him, we hung him. Then we turned Ahmadinejad of Iran into the new Hitler. Well, he got voted out of office, so the new Hitler got voted out. So, you know, then we had Osama. Well, we killed Osama. Actually, we didn't. We didn't do anything of the sort. He had already died, but we used that as an advantage to claim that we killed him in a SEAL Team 6 operation, the Navy SEAL Team 6. Then to make sure they kept their mouths shut, we killed the whole SEAL team off. You don't believe me? Check it out. We put them in a big Chinook helicopter, an old one, sent it right where we knew there was going to be the enemy, and they shot it down. So the SEAL Team 6 that killed Osama bin Laden, or else supposedly did, in Pakistan, they're not around to talk about it, are they? They're all dead. Any fiction, anything you think about, if you think that the American president would not kill Americans, you got another thing coming, my friend. This isn't like, we're not talking about George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams. We're talking about a gang, a syndicate, a cartel of political gangsters that run America. That's what they are. I mean, Franklin Roosevelt enticed, provoked the Japanese to attack Pearl Harbor. They did attack it. They were idiots. They were not too smart. But he provoked them to attack. He knew they were going to attack. He planned. He would have been disappointed. He knew they were coming. In fact, many people said, well, they were on their way. They saw the Japanese ships and aircraft, everything, right out of port of Pearl Harbor. And they got the word to him, and he said, shut up, shut up, shut up. We want them to attack is what he wanted. Now, you can read the new books that have come out. The old books, of course, were laced with false information, but now the new books are coming out. They're telling the truth. Roosevelt knew the exact moment when the Japanese would strike, but he kept it a secret. He wanted them to strike. He wanted to declare World War II. He wanted to go against the Germans. The Jews had put him up to it, and they said, we want to fight. We want you to go into World War II, into Europe, help the British, and help fight the Nazis for us, the Jews. Now, let's go back to Iraq just a moment. They say that when this army, ISIL or ISIS, as they approached the city of Mosul, all 2,000 of them, that's all there were, 2,000 of them, they were going down the highway toward Mosul. Now, what could have killed, what could have stopped them? Well, the Iraqi army had new helicopters from us. It had armored personnel carriers. It had tanks, American tanks. It had Humvees. It had all the guns and equipment and even aircraft that America had given it. There were 12,000 Iraqi troops in Mosul. 12,000. That doesn't even count thousands and thousands of policemen. We probably could have put together a force of some 25,000 in all to fight how many? No more than 2,000 terrorists that were out in the desert there, totally exposed. Totally exposed to tank fire, to aircraft, to cannons. And the Iraqi army had been well trained by the Americans, ready to go. Suddenly, all the commanders started getting phone calls. Some said they got phone calls from the Kurds up in the northern part. But most of them said that they got phone calls from their superiors in Baghdad. And their superior said, "What are you doing now?" They said, "We're preparing for this battle. We're ready to fight, sir." But it turns out that the generals in charge in Baghdad told them, "No, no, no, no. We don't want you to fight. We want you to surrender. What you're to do is just take off your uniforms and run. Go back home." Now, the Iraqi commanders in charge of Mosul and his 12,000 troops were shocked. They couldn't believe it. They were being told to surrender. They hadn't even fought. Here were the 2,000 terrorists on the way, and these guys were told to surrender. Who told them? The Americans did. The Americans. The American advisors told them, "We're not going to do any fighting. We're going to surrender. Surrender." And they did. They gave up their post. They took off their uniform. They left the tanks, the jeeps, the Humvees, the guns, the everything, the helicopters, everything. They left, just left the base, and just, it was a deserted base. And the 2,000 terrorists just walked in and took it. There was no fighting. And thus they walked, and all the policemen quit their jobs too. Just deserted, abandoned. Just like Bergdahl did, you know, the American. They were ready to fight. They were ready to go. They were patriotic for their country, for Iraq. They would have whipped these terrorists. And they outnumbered them about 13 to 1. But somebody told them, "Don't fight. Just go away. Just desert." Who did that? Very, very odd, isn't it? And so, well, I'm Tex Martyrs. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. This is the volume of secrets. That's the biggest secret there is. Who told the Iraqi army to stand down, not to fight? It was just like 9/11. Our Air Force could have gone up and shot down those planes, but they were told to stand down by who? Well, that was Dick Cheney in the White House. George Bush was out of town down in Florida. Cheney told them to stand down. And now they told the whole Iraqi army, stand down. After we spent billions and billions and billions to train them into a fighting force, they didn't just fall because they were cowards, because they were fearful. They were told, take off your uniforms, desert, let the terrorists have the city. This is treachery. This is a traitor's. But it was all a planned deal. Obama planned it all. That's what's happening in Iraq. A planned defeat by the Americans. A planned defeat. We surrender on purpose. We helped to build the Islamic Caliphate. Our man, who we train in a supposed prison, who told his American captors, "I'll see you guys in New York." Now, by the way, Iraqis don't say that kind of stuff. They got that from a grade B gangster movie in America. "I'll see you guys in New York." Al-Baghdadi is his name. He's the new Osama bin Laden. The war will go on forever, my friends. I told you, it will go on forever. I'll be right back in just a moment. Stay with us, won't you? This is Power of Prophecy. I am Tex Martyrs. Hello, friends. Tex Martyrs again here. You know, my latest book is called DNA, Science, and the Jewish Bloodline. DNA, Science, and the Jewish Bloodline. This is the first book to reveal the newest genetics research by Dr. Ariel Oppenheim of Tel Aviv University, by Dr. Iran El-Haik of the prestigious Johns Hopkins Medical University, and by other geneticists. And these genetic scientists have discovered the ancient genetic roots of the Jewish people. And you know, they wanted to keep all these facts bottled up. The Jews don't want people to know that they are not the ancient Israelites. They're fake. They're the synagogue of Satan. Now, if you don't know about the synagogue of Satan, read Revelation 2 and 3. But this book gives you the scientific evidence. You discover for the first time that the Jews do not come from ancient Israel. They have no familial relationship, no blood kin relationship to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why, they've never even had one little toe in Israel before. They come from Khazaria. Where is Khazaria? Well, that's over in Ukraine, in Russia, from Kiev, Russia, and so forth. That's where they come from. In the 10th century, the Khazarians went over into Poland and Hungary, and then in 1948, they rolled with communist arms, they rolled into Israel. It was Palestine at the time, but they said, we're going to make it a new nation of Israel. We're going to reconstitute a nation that we had 2,000 years ago. This is the land that God gave us. But that would be just like the Japanese coming to Texas and claiming it as their own and saying, God gave us this land, you know, 5,000 years ago. We Japanese. We're Americans. We'd laugh at them. They never were. I mean, maybe the Tarakawa Indians of Texas deserve some credit, but not the Japanese. This was the same thing. They were fakes. They weren't even Jews. They call themselves Jews. But you know what the Bible has to say of the synagogue of Satan? It identifies them which say they are Jews, but are not, and are the synagogue of Satan. This is the first book ever to discuss these facts. And it does so in a very interesting way. I want you to have your copy of this incredible book. Now, the Messianic Jews are angry at me. They want to stay Jews. But they never were Jews. Now, I have a Scottish background. I don't really say much about Scotland. I don't really know much about it. Never been there, never want to be there. I'm an American. But if you check my blood from the DNA banks, they'd say, well, you have a Scottish heritage. Okay. Well, I'm going to change it tomorrow morning and say, well, wait just a minute. I'm a Jew. I come from from Judah. I'm from Israel. Abraham is my great, 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 whatever grandfather. That would be just as true as what the Jews have said. The fact is, I'm Scottish. At least that's what they tell me now. If they told me tomorrow that I'm, you know, English or Norwegian or Swedish or something, I'd say, okay, I don't care. I'm still American. I'm a Texan. I'm an American. You probably would too. But the Jews say, oh, no, 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 don't say that I'm Khazarian. I'm not. Oh, no, I'm Jewish. They're going nuts over this. They're threatening my life over this book. They're threatening my life. One stuck her finger in my face and said, you better change your name. You better get it off that book. Then I suggest you go into hiding. I'm not going into hiding. Why should I go into hiding? I'm calling a Jew what he is, a Khazarian. I mean, you go into hiding if you want, but what is the problem, lady? Well, in any case, I've long said when you call a Jew what he really is, a Khazarian, he'll get mad at you. He'll be angry. The Messianics are really angry. They've been ruling it over like a haughty, prideful beast over the Christians. But no more. Now it's come out that they're not even Jewish. They're not even Israelite. They come from Khazaria. They come from Russia. You know, we've only had genetics. We've only had DNA science since 1968. Our generation is finding out all kinds of things about blood. But the good news, listen to this, folks. Now this is going to be a shocker to everybody. Did you know that in the book of Acts in the Bible, God said, out of one blood, he had created all the people on the face of the earth. Uh-oh. The white supremacists, they're in trouble. The black supremacists, you're full of baloney. The people from Mexico that say we're of the great nation of Aslan and all that stuff, they're full of baloney too. Hey, my friends, you better come to know Jesus Christ, you in spirit and in truth, because your flesh is going to stay right here on earth, dust to dust. Yes. You're not going to go to heaven as a Jew or a German or anything. And if you're of the ancient, esteemed Comanche tribe or the Apache tribe, well, good for you. But I don't think you're going to get anywhere on that in heaven. In fact, if you get to go to heaven because you're saved through faith, guess what? You're going to have a different body. If you're a Jew, you're going to leave your Jewish body behind. Dust to dust. But you're not going to want it anyway. Hey, I don't want this old body. I'm tired of it. I mean, I have little aches and pains. I woke up this morning. My joints were hurting. My knees were, you know, knobby, and I couldn't hardly walk, and had to go and clean out my eyes and brush my hair and all that. I'm going to have a new body in heaven, probably a spiritual body. Won't that be great? DNA science in the Jewish bloodline. It's the first book to tell the truth about DNA science and the Jewish bloodline. I just simply called it that. This book was number 10 or 12 on the Jewish bestsellers. Jews have been buying this book. I think more Jews have bought it than Christians. Christian Zionists are frightened to death of this book. They don't want to accept it. They're saying, I don't believe that DNA. Well, folks, thousands of people are in prison today because of DNA evidence. You tell them you don't accept DNA as evidence. But all the evidence of the DNA was out there, and I just got it and put it in a book. Now you know the truth about the Jews. They're the synagogue of Satan. And you know, it's God that identified the synagogue of Satan. I was at a prophecy conference one time, and later that night I went up to the sponsor of the conference and was in, you know, his, he had like a room apartment at the hotel, and his wife was there, and Juan and I were there, and I said, what do you think of that passage in Revelation that talks about the synagogue of Satan? The guy almost fainted. Oh, no, don't go there, he said. Don't go there. I said, what do you mean don't go there? It's in the Bible. Oh, no, don't go there. We don't talk about that in prophecy conferences. We don't want people to talk about that. He was wanting to get his scissors out and cut that out of the Bible. And you know, I didn't know about the Jews back then. I was a new person in Christian ministry. I'd spent all my life first in the Air Force, then I had a high-tech consulting firm. I didn't know about all these fakes in prophecy. I didn't know they were trying to hide all these Bible verses from Christians. I said, you mean you don't think that should be preached or taught or studied? No, don't go there. Don't pretend that's not in the Bible, he basically said. And you know, I left that man and I told Wanda, I said, you know, I'm gonna study that verse more. I'm gonna see what God would have for me there. There's some strong things God says there about the synagogue of Satan. Them which say they are Jews and are not. Wow. You see the power of God? He puts stuff in the Bible, and there are all these preachers out there trying to hide it, obfuscate it, cut it out, get rid of it. But they can't. It's there. Now, it'll probably be missing from the future versions. I promise you, right now, there are probably versions of the Bible, the new version, that don't even have it in there. I want you to have this book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Order it by calling us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, or you can write to us at Power of Prophecy or to Tex Morris, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And now let's return to our regular program. We're discussing a volume of secrets. I'm going to go very fast here. By the way, I was talking about how the Iraqis collapsed their army. They were ready to go, but somebody called all of them and told them, desert. Take off your uniforms. You're not going to fight. They were ready to fight. We're talking about how fearful, what cowardly people they were. No, they weren't. They were ready to fight. Now, I'm reading from the Guardian newspaper, The Guardian. 17 June 2014 edition. The feature article is entitled, Iraqis Raise Questions Over Army's Collapse. Iraqis raise questions over the army's collapse. Theories spread about why a force touted as the best trained and armed in the Arab world folded. Because the Americans told them to. Because the Israeli Mossad put out the word. You're supposed to lose. And America is going to have a new Osama bin Laden, al-Baghdadi. We're supposed to be quaking in our boots over here. And Lindsey Graham, the senator, the gay boy from South Carolina, says, oh, now we know there are going to be 9-11s everywhere, all over America. We're going to have it again. Al-Baghdadi is now our enemy. He's the new Osama. Sure he is. All planned out. Man. Meanwhile, down in Houston, Dallas, Texas, that is, according to CBS News, 650 on your dial in Houston, seems that the county commissioners there in Dallas voted on something and they didn't realize what they were voting on. This is what happens in our Congress, too. Remember Nancy Pelosi? They asked her questions about the Obamacare Health Act. She said, well, that's going to have to wait. We're going to have to vote on it first, and then we can find out what's in it. Well, the Texas County Commissioners down in Dallas, they voted, and in mid-June, they voted on slavery reparations for blacks. And they voted it in. They approved it. And they voted this, you see, it was a Juneteenth. That's what the blacks called Juneteenth. When they got their freedom and all that stuff. They have a holiday for that, you know. And the county commissioners in Dallas there approved a resolution. It said the U.S. government had been derelict in its duties to blacks. And they should give all this money to blacks for slavery reparations. And everybody on the county commission voted it in. And then the next morning they all went to work and suddenly found out, I guess, that they were going to have to give out all this money. Dallas is a pretty big place there. One of America's biggest cities, and all the blacks said, you voted it in. We want our reparations. And the county commissioner said, what? What did we vote in? You remember you voted for that resolution yesterday. Slavery reparations. You said the government's been derelict in its duties. Now you're going to do your duty. Pay us. Well, the county commissioners all got together and quickly voted again and voted it out. So this was the this act only lasted about one day, folks. But that's, isn't that what politicians do? They're so dumb, they just voted. They don't even know what it said. Meanwhile, talk about another dumb agency, the Department of Health and... I'm sorry, they're bad too, but the Department of Homeland Security, DHS. These illegal immigrants coming to the United States from down in Central America, from Honduras, El Salvador, Costa Rica, Panama, all those places down there, minors up to the age of 17. And have you noticed on TV how they're all dressed? They're all dressed in gay colors. They look nice. They're all clean. The men all have nice haircuts, the young boys. I mean, these look like rich, wealthy kids. Their mother brings them in their arms. And when they get over the border, they don't run from the border patrol. They run to them. I mean, Border Patrol have been driving their Jeeps down the road, and the these illegal aliens walking along the road, they wave them down and said, "Hey, we want to give up to you." Well, Border Patrol never said that. I mean, they all the time have the illegal aliens running away from them. Now they're looking for them, wanting them to pick them up, because they've been told that once they get to the United States, all they have to do is turn themselves into the Border Patrol. Then they'll be given free toys, free clothing, free food, medical care, and free transportation to see their relatives or their supposed relatives anywhere in the United States. You know, their cousin Jose in Seattle, Washington. Their cousin, Maria in Turnover, Maryland, etc. Guess who's been paying for all this, folks? This immigration invasion by all these young people. The Homeland Security Department. They've been paying for it. Billions out of our taxpayer dollars. And they've even admitted they've got an escort services for unaccompanied alien children. Escort services. You know, I've been all over the world. I was never escorted into a country, given free toys and food and new clothes and given a transportation ticket to anywhere I wanted to go to. These people are flying all over they're flying to Tucson, Arizona, to California, to Boston, Massachusetts, to Chicago. Meanwhile, although they're all illegal aliens, Obama got 10 of them, brought them to the White House. And the Obama White House actually had a Champions of Change ceremony for 10 of them. Now imagine having a ceremony celebrating 10 of these young people, calling them Champions for Change. Not only does Obama break the law, but it's right in your face, folks. Remember in 1984, at the end of the book, it had a picture, not a word picture, of a fascist boot stomping on a person's face. This is Obama. He's got his fascist boots on, and they're right in your face. He's blasting. He's just smearing your face and head into the ground. We're going to be paying billions. He's asking the Congress to approve billions of dollars for these illegal immigrants. And you better believe the rhinos, the Republicans in name only, in the House of Representatives they'll be lining up trying to get the money approved. And churches are everywhere saying, "This is so wonderful. We're helping these. We love these kids. We want them to come. We want them to dream about being Americans." And with them are coming gangs. Are coming all these kids that have all kind of problems. And some mothers are coming in with diseases and different medical maladies. And they're getting tens of thousands of dollars in free aid to get their teeth worked on. They're going to see folks, I can't even pay for my dentist. I have to get the money out of my own pocket. These people get free dental care. It's incredible. Hey, I've gotten a lot of letters from people. They say, Tex, you're being unfair. You've been exposing these black mobs and these riots, and you sold that book, White Girl Bleed a Lot. White Girl Bleed a Lot. Yes, we did. We sold it. They said, we think maybe you're prejudiced against the blacks. Hey, I'm prejudiced against crime. And I'm sick of the blacks committing so many crimes in America, and it's being covered up by everybody. I see news items all the time. There was one in the paper this week. A black mob, over 50 blacks, rushed a clothing apparel store, and before the clerks could do anything, they took out all the clothing, and the police didn't do anything about it. These black mobs are going in Walgreens and 7-Eleven stores, convenience stores, and just ransacking these stores. Then they're having this knockout game where they sneak up to a white person on the street and just knock them out. And the crime is incredible. Blacks against whites. And the blacks think that they're getting, the whites are getting their comeuppance. Folks, these white people have done nothing to you. They've done nothing to you. Do you realize that America was over 80% white in the 60s when the American people on their own had their Congress to approve the American Civil Rights Act of 1964 for equality between whites and blacks in America? We did it. We whites gave you your freedom. And think of the Civil War that was fought for many reasons. But one of them was slavery, just one of them. Over 500,000 died. And those were white people. For the 14th Amendment, which gave you freedom. Listen, black man, black woman, black child. It's the white people of this country that gave you your freedom. Now you're equal with us, but you're not above equal. But listen to this. Patrick Buchanan wrote a book in 2013 entitled Black America's Real Problem Isn't White Racism. They say that it's the white racism. That's our problem. Folks, since 1864, when over 500,000 white people died to free you, you should bring yourself up. We've given you all, every city in America practically now, especially up north and east, is decadent. Detroit, Chicago, full of crime, against black people and against white people. Now listen to this. These are statistics from 2007, but they haven't got any better. Blacks in America committed 434,000 crimes against whites. 434,000 crimes against whites were committed by blacks. On the other hand, only 55,685 crimes were committed by whites against blacks. That means that almost 8 times as many crimes were committed by blacks. 8 times as many crimes were committed by blacks against whites. But listen to this. The whites outnumber the blacks 5 to 1 in population. We outnumber the blacks. That means that in 2007, a black male was 40 times as likely to assault a white person as the reverse. You look at an average white person and an average black person. The black person is 40 times more likely to assault the white. Now, get this next statistic. There were 14,000 assaults on white women by African Americans in 2007. 14,000 assaults on white women by blacks. But there was not one case, zilch, nada, zero, not one case of a white assault, that is sexual assault, on a black female. There were no black females sexually assaulted by whites. Meanwhile, there were 14,000 white women assaulted. This, you see what I'm talking about? I'm not prejudiced, but I'm saying our prisons are full of black people, and they committed real crimes. Now, you say, well, they didn't have lawyers, and they didn't, you know, have good, you know. Hey, excuses. Even Jesse Jackson said if he was walking down the street late at night in Washington, D.C., and he heard, you know, footsteps coming up fast behind him, if he turned around to look and noticed it was a white person, he said he wouldn't be scared at all. But if it was a black person, he'd be fearful. Of course, it's almost always a black person committing a crime. 40 times as likely. 40 times. Well, let's skip that subject and go right to Oh boy, the transgenders. Transgenders. Time magazine has a picture of a transgender, I don't know, woman, he, she, or whatever she is, on the front page, the cover of Time magazine, this last week. It says, the transgender tipping point, America's next civil rights frontier. Hey, they've got everything they want, homosexuals. They're calling you a homophobe. They're calling you a hater. Why? Because you believe in Christianity. Because you know that that's not what God wants. He doesn't want homosexuals. Homosexual lobby can call you anything it wants. It can beat us into submission. It can call us bigots, homophobes, haters. They don't want to debate that. They just want to enforce it on you with their political correctness. And now, as if that wasn't enough in homosexuality, they've got the transgenders. The transgenders. According to Time magazine, America is being transitioned. Who is this article written by? Katie Steinmetz, a Jew. It's the Jews that want this, but they're going to maintain their race, their blood. We're going to stay pure. We're Jews. Ha, ha, ha. We're not stupid like other white people. That's what they say. Another social movement is poised to challenge America's deeply held cultural beliefs. Friends, shallow Christians are keeping silent about this. They're frightened out of their wits by political correctness. I'm not frightened, are you? No, I'm not frightened. Hey, some quickies. We're running out of time here. People are sending me photos of the Duck Dynasty people, you know. Now, all with all their beards and their strange looks and all that, you know. Sort of funny at first. I watched a couple of episodes of Duck Dynasty. They were sort of silly, but sort of humor, sort of cute. But I don't watch it as a rule. It's just too silly. If you enjoy it, that's okay. Seemed like they were Christians, and then suddenly people started sending me these official photographs, and they were all of Masonic hand signs, even leg signs. That's right. The Duck Dynasty are a bunch of Freemasons. Well, I guess they're from the South. They're good old boys. They claim to be Christians. Well, many Masons claim to be Christians, too, and they're just too ignorant to understand that Freemasonry worships a sort of a bisexual goddess and god. The Grand Architect. Now, I can tell you about the Freemasonic deity. But here's the Duck Dynasty. They're given the Masonic hand sign, bent knee, bent elbow, crossed arm. All of these, and they're doing these signs up around their mouths. They're letting everybody know that's what we are. We're Freemasons, the Duck Dynasty. Boy, whether they're stupid about that or they're really, you know, well, anyway, it's been great being with you today. We've run out of time. I had a few more secrets for you. Boy, I had some good ones. Well, we'll just save that for next time. It is great being with you each week during the same time. You know, just to let you know some truths. You know, you get a big old helping of lies every time you open your newspaper. But you can always turn in on Power of Prophecy Radio and get a good old, you know, heaping serving. That's what my wife calls it, Wanda. She's a sweetheart. And you are too. Well, not you guys out there. Y'all aren't sweethearts. Y'all are, you know, just old men. You know, even the young are old, right? You're my friends, folks. You're my friends. Truth tellers across America and the world. Power of Prophecy. Tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.